us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, with my sweet, precious, delightful wife.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say by my side, but it's not true. She's across from me at this glorious studio table in our basement. And we've been talking about the mouth. And we're going to talk about it for a while because it doesn't matter what else is going on. You can have struggles with your finances, struggles with parenting, struggles with sexuality and your intimacy, struggles with deciding whether to change houses, but all of it hinges on communication. Do you know how to talk? And guess what? The Bible has a lot to say about it because God is a talking God, is a word God. So when you think about it, the Bible actually has a lot to say about it, doesn't it, Vicki?
Yeah, I mean, and it must be a problem for us humans because there are about 90 verses in the book of Proverbs that have to do with your mouth.
Are you serious? 90?
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Good God. But here's what I like about the Bible. I hope you also hear that. Vicki and I are not just excited about marriage. We are. But have you heard an equal excitement about the Bible? I don't know what we would do without the Bible. It's so helpful in knowing what we should do. So it's like God's always way out ahead of us with knowing what we need the most help with.
Right.
You don't pick up your Bible and say, well, I wish it said something about the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
90 verses in Proverbs. That's incredible.
It's a lot.
That means the book of Proverbs, which is that wisdom book that he gave us, has more to say about your mouth than anything else. More than money, more than sex, more than friends and family.
Yeah. So you have to ask why. Why is there so much emphasis on what we say?
Yeah. And that's because we've been bringing it to you, but I want you to hear it. God is a God of words. He created us in his image, and it means we use words because he used words, and he gave us this ability, but he wants us to use them the way he designed them to be used. Otherwise, it can wreak havoc. We're stewards of words.
Right. I mean, that's right. In fact, our ability to speak and use words is one of the things that sets us apart from the rest of creation as image bearers of our Creator God. He's made us stewards of words. I think, you know, we often think of stewarding our time, like I have to go to work. I have to get 8 hours of sleep. I want to spend time with my family. I need to go to the grocery store. I need to make my click list. But this is a different concept to me. You know, we think of maybe stewards of our money. You know, we have to pay our house payment, save money, give money to church. But this is something I've never really thought about. But we need to have a new thought about. We are stewards of our words. Yeah. So I've never really thought about that.
Yeah. Every day, how am I using my money? He brought it my way. How am I using my time? And how am I using my words? Which means we don't just get to sling them around any way we want. That's where people get in trouble and couples get in trouble. Thoughtlessly, carelessly, slinging around words any way they want.
Right.
And yet we are stewards of words. And it sets us apart from every other creature in all of creation. I mean, I love all kinds of other things, and all kinds of other things have personalities.
Yeah.
All kinds of other things you can relate to, and you can love them. But human beings are on a level like nothing else in creation.
Right.
Dogs bark, cats meow, pigs oink, and I'm told that dolphins are super, super smart.
Oh, they
and
are.
Have some form of communication. Have you read that also?
Oh, yeah. I've seen different things about dolphins do little rescue missions, and this happened. They helped find someone that was in the ocean, lost.
Yeah. Even recently in my news feed, I get a news feed called 1440
News. He
loves
it.
Oh, I
do. Check it out.
The name 1440 came from the Gutenberg Press. That's when it was invented. But it's my news feed that I look at every day. And recently, in the last several months, there's been a feed about how baby seals, more than they ever realized, have a means of communicating and begin to truly adjust how they communicate as they get to know another baby seal.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. Even another article I read about whales they communicate more than we think, that these are not thoughtless, non-thinking, non-communicating creatures.
Right.
But don't make a mistake. They are not created in the image of God. And so in a sense, to sober us up a bit, God is not going to hold dogs accountable for how they bark, how much they bark. I wish that he would hold some dogs accountable. and more as I travel in hotels, more and more hotels allow animals. And I'm not fundamentally against that, but I am fundamentally against a barking, yapping dog. If your dog cannot be left without you, then leave him at home. There's just a little separate nugget.
Do you remember when we were in seminary in our trailer and we slept, trying to save money, slept with our windows open sometimes?
Oh,
and there was some dog kind of across the valley, and every night it would be like, and I remember one time we actually got in our car and tried to drive around to the other side
of our... We tried to find it,
I mean, I don't know what we were going to do.
And we couldn't.
No, we couldn't find it.
We had our car windows down.
I'm not sure what we were going to do.
We were just driving in the dark thinking, I've got to know where this... But a little dog's bark can just echo. Even like day of prayer, I go to a place called Potter's Ranch, and there's a certain ridge that I like to sit on. And early morning, the mist is just lifting. The sun is coming up. I love to sit there and pray. And there will be a dog barking. And I mean, he's miles away. I'm looking across a valley, but it sounds like he's right there with me and my prayer journal by my side. Whew. But it's not the same kind of communication that we have been entrusted with as human beings. So here's what I want to do today. I want to frame this. If this matters so much beyond barking, oinking, meowing, dolphining, whatever that would look like, then God's going to, then God's going to help us.
And yes, he will.
So here's what I think is interesting. We got the Proverbs, and Vicky said 90 verses in Proverbs are about the mouth. Well, guess what? Most people, if you know your Bible well, would say the most practical book in the New Testament, Proverbs is in the Old Testament, that is like Proverbs is the book of James.
Right.
If you're new to the Bible, listen, jump into the book of James. If you're like, hey, I don't know Bible much. Is it practical? Whew. Love the book of James. I've memorized the book of James.
Wow.
Taught the book of James to students in the youth ministry as soon as I jumped in. You remember that?
I do remember.
I had a little bit of hair. But a lot of people call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's so practical. Well, guess what? One half of a chapter is given to the mouth in James chapter 3. So let me frame it up. Listen to what James chapter 3 says. Beginning of verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. He's not talking about sinless, he means mature.
Right.
One of the signs of maturity is that you've learned to rein in and harness your mouth. If you don't have that yet, then it doesn't matter how much you, quote, know, you are immature. Anyone, for all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Sheesh. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. He means you're not going to get a hold of this on your own.
Right.
You need his help. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison.
Wow.
With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Whew. You hear that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not subtle.
Pretty powerful.
It's not gentle.
Sobering.
Really strong.
Mm-hmm.
God really brings it just how much this matters. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Vicky and I are going to unpack that a little more.
Can't wait.
And help you get a hold of, because I hope you heard, there's a lot of word pictures there.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth, God really is a master communicator.
He really is.
And wants us, if you're not sobered up and like alarmed about your mouth, he wants you to be so. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about rudders and we're going to talk about fires. But we're going to talk about a fire that's far more serious than that last California fire that took out acres of land.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment, who are working through what the Bible says about the tongue this week. And Brad made a point just a second ago. I want to borrow that for just a moment if I can. We think in our lives hard about how we steward our money, how we steward our time. But I can promise you most of us never sit and think and spend a lot of time about stewarding our words. And I want to add to that one thing also worth stewarding. That would be your influence, because every one of you listening right now has some, whether you realize it or not. And here's what I mean. Fortis Institute, right here, what we're providing, what we're producing on a daily basis, well, it doesn't come out of nowhere. It's not running on a giant endowment or wealthy backers. It's run on the backs of regular people, just like you, who view and listen to the teaching here at Fortis Institute, and it's impacted them to the point where they've decided that it matters enough to fund with their own dollars. That's what we call a gospel partner. And the beauty of that is that it's stewardship in the truest sense, taking a little of what God has entrusted to you and you're pointing it to something that will outlast you. Like a husband who finally learned how to bridle his tongue because somebody somewhere footed the bill here at Fortis Institute so he could hear what Brad and Vicky are talking about today. If that is not a honest, genuine, pure use of your resources, I really don't know how to describe it. So if you're in a place in your life right now where you might be able to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, let me give you two caveats. Number one, be giving to your local church first and foremost, because as a Christian, that's your number one giving priority. Also, don't give to us. Don't give to our ministry if it would be a burden upon you. You know, those are two areas of your life that are looking pretty good right now, and you would like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I'll be the first to say I cannot wait to link arms with you. And the second piece of stewardship that I want to mention right now is the Fortis Plus app. Of course, it's free because of our gospel partners, and that is where all of the content that we're creating and that I'm talking about, that's also free, remember, that's where we distribute it, through the Fortis Plus app. And so if you've not downloaded the app yet to your smartphone or your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org as well, you're missing out. Go see exactly what I'm talking about by going to your app store where you download the apps on your smartphone or your smart TV. Or again, like I said, it's at fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you're listening to Thrive. And before the break, we read a sobering passage that talks about bridles in horses' mouths, rudders on ships, and fires that wreak havoc, all related to the tongue, the mouth. So, Vicki, what stands out to you in that passage that we read right before the break?
Well, I think one thing that stands out to me is that verse that says, For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect, or like you said, complete man, able also to bridle his whole body. And I just think, wow, that takes such self-control that we actually need to stop and weigh our words before speaking. And that, like we said before so often in our show, is that's going to take the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You're going to have to be sensitive to his leading. Often as someone's telling me a story or asking for something or telling me a story, I'm praying, like, as I listen and say, Lord, help me to know how to answer this. And I really think that God isn't trying to just load us with guilt or dread about our words, but he wants us to season our speech so that our speech comes out with wisdom and we don't just erupt or say the first thing that comes to our mind. And I think over time that can become a habit.
Yeah.
I think in other areas we are more cautious about different things. I know, like, we live on a huge, like, hill. Our whole neighborhood is, like, I don't, what would you call it, a mountain, a
and
hill?
Yeah, when she says hill, it's a mountain.
Okay, we'll call it a
mountain. So the main drive, Tuscany Drive, that gets to the top of this crest of a hill or a mountain is what we come up to even get into our neighborhood.
I mean, it's probably like half a mile long.
Yeah.
But anyway, so as we've lived here now for 2 years, I know on a regular basis, deer are going to be running across that road and smash into my car. And I've already had, I just was at Crohn's Auto Body last week. Someone ran into me, didn't leave a note. Thank you very much.
That deer didn't leave
I'm
a note?
I'm not bitter. It wasn't a deer, but
we
know.
We suspect it was someone who doesn't oink or bark. We suspect a human being backed into the front of her car and left no words on a note.
That's right. They did not communicate.
Okay.
But as I come up and down that hill, I've done it enough that I realize deer regularly, this is their route they run across. And if you know deer, they do not come just one. There's always at least two, maybe four. So I'm kind of just, I just now just self-conscious, without even thinking, I just look left, look right, look. I mean, several times as I'm going down that hill, because I do not want my car to get hit by a deer. So the same thing is kind of true about our tongue. The more we practice with self-control, we just have to be a little more cautious about it.
Just heading into use of words with greater caution.
Right.
Just recognizing the damage and the danger. If we could just, and we don't want to freak you out to where you're afraid to say anything. Because there's already enough people out there I know who are so given to combing over too much what they say before they say it.
And that's not what we're talking about.
So that then they don't say it.
Yeah.
We're really talking to the average person who maybe would benefit, put me at the top of the list, by giving a little more thought and caution before they, and just like Vicki's talking about driving in an area with deer, you are using words and you need to know, wow, damage can be done. Because that's how God talks about it. In verse 4, it really strikes me how he uses the picture of a rudder. Or if you know anything about ships, a rudder is small compared to the overall size of the ship. And yet that rudder directs the ship. The very course of the ship is guided by that rudder. And that's what he chose to use, inspired by the Holy Spirit. James, though small in comparison, a rudder can work against the wind and waves to turn a ship weighing hundreds of thousands of tons. That's how powerful the tongue is. Where the rudder, and here's what I want you to get a hold of, where the rudder directs, the ship will go. And so very often your mouth is leading your life. You know, some of you are thinking, I don't know how I ended up here. If you were honest, often you ended up there with your mouth. Your mouth got you there. And in your marriage, that's what you, what we want to think about. We're talking about how could your marriage thrive and why is it barely alive? Think, some of it has to do with words. You worded your way to where you are. You used words carelessly, and that tongue in your mouth is a rudder, and it directed you to where you are. So our tongue set the course for our lives, and here's a scary thought, even our souls. With our mouths, we can, but here's what I want you to get excited about. With our mouths, you can chart a course, a new course towards Christ-likeness. Sometimes you think, I don't know where I would begin. Begin with your mouth. You're in a place where you wish you weren't. Say, I'm gonna start thinking about my words towards my mate more, towards my spouse more. How am I using words? You can steer marriage towards love and understanding and kindness by speaking in a new way.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts from that, Pastor?
Yeah, I think, you know, James compares a tongue to a bit in a horse's mouth, a ship's rudder, a small spark that starts a forest fire. And the point I think he's trying to make is small things control big outcomes.
Yeah. And I say that again. That's really good,
so
Vicky.
So small things like a rudder or your tongue control big outcomes. And I just remember we were in California one time and I'd gone to McDonald's to get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. It's
well,
so
I
good.
Hope.
Yes.
She's
anyway,
a girl. She's always like, she likes the country.
I'm a breakfast girl.
She's a breakfast girl.
Brad could care
I could care less
like
about
breakfast.
But
people.
Man, this girl wakes up.
Mm-hmm. Gotta
I
have
think she
breakfast.
Wakes up thinking about Jesus. And then number two is not Brad. It's breakfast.
That's right.
It's
That's
a different
right.
B. It's
so
not,
he,
not Brad.
He can
breakfast.
Just do without. But I'm like, I have to go find some breakfast. So I met a lady. She was reading the book. And we started talking. And she comes there every day for breakfast. And she just said, since I live in California, I'm very close to where forest fires have been, and I can't even insure my house. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's, I mean, one of your number one assets is your house.
Yeah.
But I did a little research, and in Northern California, one of the worst forest fires in history was in the Mendocino National Forest. It's called the August Complex Fire, and it was the largest wildfire ever recorded in California, burning over 1,032,000 acres, which basically is 1,600 square miles, about the size of Rhode Island. Mm. And the way it started was just by a series of small wildfires that were ignited by dry lightning strikes. Mm. And I just think, wow, this is such a good example. It caused that much damage, and that's what this passage is comparing our tongue to. And I think of that verse that we read earlier, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Mm-hmm. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. And then I like this verse. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of our life. Kind of like you said before, sometimes we wonder, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Your tongue is setting on fire the entire course of your life. Yeah. You know, in your interactions at work, you're just blurting out things that should not be said.
Yeah.
With your kids. I mean, wow. With your
That are just said to kids in a moment.
Yes.
And you might think it's just a spark.
Right.
But it set off a course of fire.
Right.
So in a sense, just think. Some of you are burning your marriage to the ground with the way you're using words. And here's what we're so guilty of. All I said was.
Yeah.
And so think, because Vicky's talking about lightning strikes with that biggest fire ever in California.
Mendocino.
But so often when you read the news, they'll discover it was just one person on a hillside that did not properly handle a flame.
Right.
A match. Sadly, sometimes it's people that did it on purpose.
But
very often it's not. Yes.
Yeah.
Just you think about a tossed cigarette out the window that still was glowing orange, and all of a sudden, thousands
of acres. It all started with a cigarette.
There you go. So think about, you've just tossed a lit cigarette, in a sense, onto the ground of marriage with some of the things you just carelessly say. And all of a sudden, oh, wow, how did we get here? Oh, God's word is so good. He warns us, he frames it up, and he wants to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky's touched on it already. You know, in national parks, how do they try to reduce this? With education, you know, and signs and helping understand and even warnings. You know, you'll see levels of warnings that you're not even allowed to start a fire.
Smokey the Bear, and they'll say, what's the
That's
level
right.
for today?
Different because of... This is God coming to us and giving us warnings. Mm-hmm. And again, don't hear what we're not saying.
Right.
He does
Please
not
don't.
Want you to pull back and say, hey, you know what? Safest way to not start a fire is not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But here's the biblical option. Say, Lord, help me. Because God's word cares about what you say, how you say it, and why you said it.
Yeah. And the flip side of this is, and we'll get on later, our words can be used for great encouragement and fruit. So we're going to talk more about that.
We're not saying, wow, stop talking. We're saying, wow, recognize the importance and power and potential of words, and let's move them in a new, healthy, hopeful
and God can help
direction.
Us.
Let's stop starting fires in our marriage with our words, and let's learn what God says that can actually give life. You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about marriage, and we're talking about the power of destruction regarding words in your marriage. Oh, ask God, help me get a hold of my mouth. Help me to think about what I'm saying. Are you tossing lit cigarettes into your marriage?
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.